Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think it's safe to say that fear is a very powerful emotion. From the littlest fears, you know, like a little spider, to the biggest of fears, like losing a loved one, fear makes us do some interesting things. It makes the real tough guy, the real macho man, when he sees that little spider or that little mouse jump on top of the table and scream for someone else to take care of it. Or it makes the mother, who is on the other side of the pool, walking and getting a towel as she sees her son slip through the inner tube into the water, freeze and can't act. Fear is powerful. It makes us do some things that we normally don't do. What happens when you're afraid? What are some of the things that you do? Maybe you doubt. Maybe you're uncertain. Maybe you hesitate because you're unsure about what to do next. Today, we have a very powerful lesson from our God as he demonstrates to us that we don't need to be afraid, that we don't need to be worried, that we don't need to wonder what's going to happen, to have doubts, but instead he calls out to us to take courage, for he's there with us, and what he does shows us we don't have to be afraid. The lesson that we have before us today from the gospel, that's where our scripture meditation comes from for this sermon, is a continuation of what we learned last week. Last week we talked about Jesus feeding the 5,000, just in a tremendous miracle where with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, he showed tremendous power, that he is more than enough and can provide more than enough. Today, he demonstrates us with his power once more and his comfort that comes from it. With another very familiar story. I think we all in some way, shape, or form could tell it. It's where he walks on water and he goes to the disciples in the middle of the storm. That's what we learn today, and as we do, as we read through this familiar story, this amazing miracle, we are told once more to take courage, for our God is here. Listen to the words of Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. It's finally time for Jesus. After a long day of feeding thousands of people, it's finally time for him to be able to get some alone time. He had just heard that John the Baptist, his cousin, his relative of his, and also a co-worker as they worked for the kingdom of God, but also a servant as Jesus is the Son of God, was murdered by King Herod. And as they left, thousands followed him, and he worked and he served in his compassion to them. Finally, it's time for Jesus to go away by himself. So he sends those disciples away because he knew the danger of what could happen, that the people of the feeding of the 5,000 wanted to make him a bread king, wanted him to be this earthly king who took care of all their physical needs. And his disciples were already falling into that trap too, as you read through the Gospels. So he sends them away. He makes them get into the boat. He dismisses the crowd and goes. He goes and prays. Now, we're with the disciples. Jesus is off by himself. The disciples, it tells us, were rowing And when they get to the point where we find them once more in the story, it's late into the night. It's 3 a.m.-ish, right around that time. It's dark, and a storm has come up. They've been rowing and rowing and rowing for hours, maybe left around that 6 p.m. range, and they haven't gotten anywhere because the wind is against them. And as seasoned sailors, a lot of them were fishermen who grew up on the sea, they knew that this could be something bad. Imagine what must be going through their minds. And I think you know. There they were, tired after a long day of work, right? They were working with Jesus, passing out that food and getting it to the people and collecting it all. And maybe they even were ready for a little break. But then Jesus sends them out. And now they're laboring at the oar, rowing and rowing and rowing. Are they frustrated? Are they tired? Are they annoyed? Maybe they're even starting to get a little afraid because they don't seem to be making much progress in this storm. We know. A long day of work followed by a long night of having to do chores or tasks or take care of someone. We understand what's going through their mind. And then as they look out, as they're laboring in this storm, rowing and rowing and rowing, they see a dark figure come towards them. Remember, it's nighttime. It's not in the middle of the day. During a storm, and they see a dark figure come toward them, and they're watching it, and they're gazing at it, and it keeps coming towards them, and what might be going in their minds? I think you know. Waking up in the middle of the night, shadows and sounds become loud and in your ear. Every little movement is something that is out to get you. And that's what they thought. Here is a spirit. Here is something, some bad force, some bad spirit coming to get us. Maybe, are we even going to die? Cry out as they're laboring against the wind and now battling their fears. And what happened? Immediately Jesus cries out, "Take courage. It's I. It is I. Don't be afraid." What happens next is absolutely incredible. It's what every little kid tries to do, running off the side of the pool, kicking his feet so fast to walk on that water. There their Savior comes, walking to them on top of the very thing that they're afraid of, walking to them in the middle of a storm, showing them once more who he is, that he is the master of creation, and creation must do what he says. He walks on the storm in complete calmness and confidence and comes to them to comfort them, to tell them once more, "Take courage. It's me. Don't be afraid." It's pretty impressive, isn't it? So much so that his words, which he spoke to them, did what Jesus wanted it to do. They were encouraged, right? They took courage. They weren't afraid anymore because that's what Jesus does. He calms us with his word. When he speaks that word, it does what he says. And it gave them courage in the middle of the storm. Peter, we know they were because Peter then boldly, good old Peter, right? Boldly cries out, "Lord, if it's you," and he's not really doubting, he's not wondering, "I'm not right, quite sure yet." No, he's boldly asking, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out, and I'll come out." And what did Jesus say? "Come on out." And then the next thing happens that's even more incredible. Peter steps out onto the water. And you got to think, Peter is a seasoned fisherman. He made his living on this sea. In boats, he understood how water worked. And to step out onto the water must have screamed against every fiber in his being, yet with his heart fully trusting in that promise, knowing that his Savior said, "Come on out," he stepped out into the water. He stepped out and walked toward Jesus with his eyes firmly fixed on him. It's incredible to see what happened here. But then we know what happens next. I'm sure you could have told me, even before I started reading it, if I told you Jesus walking on the water is our text today, you could say yes, and Peter's going to go out there, and then he's going to see the wind. Rather, he'll see the effects of the wind. It's a storm, nonetheless. He understood how violent storms on the Sea of Galilee were. He saw the waves being tossed about. He knew that they weren't making much progress. He felt the wind against his face, and he became afraid. Even though he was there walking with his Savior on the water, he became afraid. And in his fear, doubt crept into his heart. Because where there's fear, doubt is right around lurking in the shadows to rear its ugly head. There he was, afraid and doubted, and then separated from the blessing that Jesus' promise had given him. No longer was he walking on water, but he began to sink. So he turns to the only place that he knows where to go. He cries out, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus reaches down and picks him up, pulls him up, and says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" It's at this part in the reading, if you're like me, that we really like to jump onto the side of Jesus and just start going, "Peter, yes, Peter, how could you have doubted in this moment? There you are, walking on water, something no one's done before. There you are, walking on water in the middle of a storm nonetheless, and you're afraid? And you're doubting? You were there experiencing it. How could you doubt? You're right with Jesus." And as we, I think, point our fingers at Peter and question with him, "Why did you doubt? How could you not believe?" I think our Savior would turn right to us. And he would say to me and to you, "Oh, you of little faith too, why have you doubted?" And we sheepishly hang our head. Peter's very relatable in this story. We're like him in a lot of different ways. Because like Peter, we've been given a promise. We've been given a lot of promises from our God. And yet, we doubt. We doubt when fears enter into our hearts. And we see what's happening around us. And it shakes our bones, wondering what's going to happen next. The big ones in the past few months are obvious, right? We've been talking about them for weeks and weeks, and yet they still do scare us a little bit. Why do we doubt? There's maybe some other ones. Maybe we, or I should say, in our readings, we've come across three different people, three different believers who've doubted. James was talking to a group of one. What we saw, Elijah, maybe your doubts and fears are more like Elijah. You see that not that many people are really liking the Christian faith anymore. Am I the only one left? And like Elijah, we doubt. Forgetting that God says, "I reserve 7,000. I reserve a remnant. There will be the church victorious." Maybe we're like James, and we're undergoing a trial, and it might be a big trial. It might be a little personal trial that no one else knows about. And instead of considering it a joy, we're afraid because it's hard, and we don't want to have to deal with it. And we keep wondering, "Why is it me? Why is it me?" And instead of knowing that God is in control, we doubt. Maybe it comes in this way. Here at this baptismal font, we are given a promise. And for a lot of us, our baptism happened a long time ago when we were little babies. Maybe it happened later on for you in life and you remember it, and that's awesome. But what God does at baptism, what he does for us is he says, "Here's a promise for you. In your baptism, I have washed away all the sins that you have ever committed. I will wash away all the sins that you will commit. And even the sin that you were born with, I have taken away from you. And I have clothed you with Christ who is perfect." And yet we sin. And the devil comes to us. And with those lies that whip across our face, like the wind that whipped across Peter, we say, "Yes, they're forgiven, but not me." We're afraid as we deal with the consequences of our sin. And instead of trusting that forgiveness and working through what we need to work through, we doubt that God could love us. We begin to sink. We're really no different from Peter, are we? As we see our problems, as we see our doubts, as we see the storms of life that don't just affect us outside of us, but really get our hearts turned up and uncertain and blown around, like James says, between wind and the waves. And we too have been of little faith, and we too have doubted. And we saw the danger in it. Like Peter, it separates you. And it makes you sink down to the depths. But in the midst of our doubt, in the story that we have here, Jesus cries out, "Take courage. Don't be afraid. It is I. I am here." One of the things about becoming so familiar with the Bible story, this is one of them. If you ever grew up in Sunday school or you've been around church for a bit and you've heard this story, it's a pretty familiar one. There's even a lizard that's named after It's called the Jesus Christ lizard because it walks on water for a little bit or gives the impression of it. It's a very popular story. One of the things that we can forget, or what happens when we are so familiar with it, I'm not saying don't be familiar with it, is that we can forget how incredible it is. Think about what happened here. There's a storm on a lake, and it's a violent storm. And what is happening? There is a person walking across the water, and he's not just a person, and he's not just a superhero. No, it's Jesus, and he is God. And he is demonstrating once more that he is God. He fed thousands of people with a few loaves of bread and some fish. And now he's walking across water in the middle of a storm, showing that creation must listen to its master. And that no matter what is happening, he is in control. When we become so familiar, we forget that Jesus is God. And that means he is bigger than any problem that we have. The devil likes to throw that in our face, that our problems are so big and our Jesus is so small, but he is God. And he calls out to us, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Jesus wasn't afraid when he came to this earth. The God who took on human flesh. He wasn't afraid when he knew exactly what he was going to have to face. That he was going to have to face death at the hands of sinful humans. That he was going to have to face the weight of sin, of everyone's sin, of the whole world. That he was going to have to sink into the depths of hell. He wasn't afraid. And he didn't doubt, but rather prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." He wasn't afraid because he had you on his mind and he wanted to save you. And in his love, he came to comfort you, to call out to you, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." To reach down, not just with his whole hand, but with his pierced hand, the hand that paid for all your doubt, the hand that paid for all the times you were afraid and didn't trust in those promises, to grab you up out of your sin and to bring you into his family. Jesus calls out to you and to me, "Take courage." So that when we're afraid, right? Because we're going to face fears until Jesus comes back and takes us to heaven. We're going to have to be dealing with this time and time again. So what do? We take courage in the words of our Savior, trusting that he is God. We hear him call out in his word as he reminds us of those great promises. "I am with you always to the very end of the age." As he gives us those promises that no matter what you face, whether it's heights or powers nor anything else like we heard last week, not even death itself can separate you from the love of God. And he shows it most, not just by walking on the water, but by rising from the dead. He defeated the great fear that we all face. Every single human must face it. And he took that fear away by breaking forth of the tomb and saying, "You have eternal life." So now, what problem are you facing? Go to the Word. Read those promises. For in the Word, you're directed back to Jesus, keeping your eyes on him in the midst of everything going out. And he says, "Take courage, I'm with you. Your problems aren't too big for me. I can handle them. Give them to me." When you're undergoing that hardship and it seems like it's laboring on, just like those disciples who were laboring on in the storm, hear that Jesus comes to you. He comes to you to rescue you. He comes to you maybe in ways unasked for or ways unrecognizable, but he always comes and he comes with authority. When you're wondering what's going to happen, remember that Jesus walks on water. He is God. And he calls you brother and sister and points you to the cross where he gave his life for you to show you that no matter what, you don't have anything to fear. I like to think that Peter had this memory seared in his mind forever, right, until he died. I like to think every time he stepped in a puddle, he was brought back to this moment where he put his foot in the puddle and he would turn to whoever was walking with him and go, "Remember that time I walked on water? Jesus." Or every time he got back into the boat and maybe the waves started getting a little choppy and he was brought back to this moment. "Remember when Jesus called me out on the water and he was right there and it was incredible?" I like to think that happened to him. I think it did too, because after Jesus ascended, or right before Jesus ascended, he told Peter that Peter was going to be taken away against his own desire, that Peter was going to die for the faith. And yet Peter wasn't afraid. You read 2 Peter and you realize he had perfect confidence in the one who is God, who walked on water, who rose from the dead, who forgives sins. So for you and for me, when we step in puddles, when you read familiar stories, when you have a problem and you hear someone say what they always say, don't be afraid, it's going to be okay, come back to the story and maybe it'll be seared into your mind that you have one who calls you brother or sister, who is in complete control, and who calls to you through his word, take courage. It's me. Don't be afraid. Amen.